Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. How many of you watched the royal wedding?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you saw our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, preach?
Yes.
I watched an
amazing and powerful sermon.
Yeah.
You know, and that was done yesterday, and today is the Feast of Pentecost. So he had to have had that in his mind. Today is called, it has been called the birthday of the church. The power of God descended upon the early church. And the idea is that Christ will bring unity for all people. Well, you're going to hear his sermon again. Because I think it's very appropriate for Pentecost. So, sit back and hear it again. From the Song of Solomon in the Bible. Set me as a seal upon your heart, a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Passion, as fierce as the grave. It flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it out. The late Dr. Martin Luther King once said, and I quote, "We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world. For love is the only way. There is power in love. Don't underestimate it. Don't even over-sentimentalize it. There's power in love. If you don't believe me, think about the time when you first fell in love. The whole world seemed to center around you and your beloved. There is power. Power in love. And not just in its romantic forms, but any form, any shape of love. There's a certain sense in which when you are loved and you know it, that someone cares for you and you know it, it actually feels right. Now, there's something right about it. This is the way it ought to be. And there's a reason for that. The reason has to do with the source. We were made by a power of love. Our lives were meant and are meant to be lived in that love. That's why we're here. Ultimately, the source of love is God Himself, the source of all of our lives. There's an old medieval poem that says, "Where true love is found, God Himself is there." The New Testament says it this way, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God, and those who love are born of God. And those who do not love do not know God." And why is that? Because God is love. There is power in love. There's power in love to help and heal when nothing else can. There's power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else will. There's power in love to show us the way to live. But love is not only about a young couple. It's more than that. Jesus of Nazareth on one occasion was asked by a lawyer to sum up the essence of the teaching of Moses. He went back and reached back into the Hebrew scriptures, to the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Leviticus. And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then in Matthew's version, he added, he said, "On these two, love of God and love of neighbor, hang all the law, all the prophets, everything that Moses wrote, everything that the holy prophets, everything in the scriptures, everything that God has been trying to tell the world. Love God. Love your neighbors. And why rather? Love yourself." Now, someone once said that Jesus began the most revolutionary movement in all of human history. A movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world. A movement mandating people to live that love, and in so doing to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. Now, I'm talking about some power, real power, power to change the world. And if you don't believe me, there were some old slaves in America's antebellum South who explained the dynamic power of love and why it has the power to transform. They explained it this way. They sang a spiritual, even in the midst of their captivity. It's the one that says, there is a balm in Gilead, a healing balm, something that can make things right. One of the stanzas actually explains why. They said, if you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, then just tell the love of Jesus and how he died to save us all. They've got it. He died to save us all. He didn't die for anything he could get out of it. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the well-being of the world, for us. That's what love is. Love is not selfish and self-centered. Love can be sacrificial, and in so doing, love becomes redemptive. And the way of unselfish, sacrificial love, redemptive love, changes lives. And it can change the world. If you don't believe me, just stop and think and imagine. Try and think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and our families, where love is the way. Imagine our neighborhoods and communities, where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce where love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love is the way. Unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, there no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like mighty streams of righteousness, like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields and study war no more. Because when love is the way, we actually treat each other well, like family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of all of us. We are all brothers and sisters, children of God. My brothers and sisters, that's a new heaven, a new earth, a new world, a new human family. The French Jesuit priest, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, now that's a strange name to us, let me say it again. He was Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Now, he was a priest, Roman Catholic priest. He was arguably one of the greatest minds, one of the greatest spirits of the 20th century. A Jesuit, Roman Catholic priest, a scientist, he's still read today, a scholar, a mystic. In some of his writings, he said, from his scientific background, as well as his theological one, that the discovery or the invention of harnessing a fire was one of the greatest scientific and technological discoveries in all of history. Fire, to a great extent, made human civilization possible. Fire made it possible to cook food and to provide a sanitary way of eating with the reduced spread of disease. Fire made it possible to heat warm environments and thereby made human migration around the world a possibility, even in the colder climates. Fire made it possible. There was no Bronze Age without fire, no Iron Age without fire, no Industrial Revolution without fire. The advances of science and technology are greatly dependent upon the human ability and the capacity to take fire and use it for the human good. Fire makes all of that possible. And Desjardins said that fire was one of the greatest discoveries in all of human history. And then he went on to say that if humanity ever harnesses, ever captures the energy of love, it will be the second time in history that we have discovered fire. Dr. King is right. We must discover love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world. God bless you, and may God hold all of us in those almighty hands of love.